Yes, our Father, we do praise you for your many mercies towards us. And we come to ask you now that as we open your word, that you would bless us even more as we hear your voice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do please be seated. I could never forgive them for what they did. What he did was unforgivable. Forgiveness is not an option after her actions. Well, we often hear sentiments like that. They come on the news after the latest atrocity, maybe, but also around us, isn't it, in personal conversations. Maybe there's a situation we're involved with, aware of, where relationships are deeply strained, maybe even openly hostile, because there's a refusal to forgive. Maybe, of course, we are the ones that are struggling to forgive. Maybe a colleague has crossed us. That friend who's betrayed us, family member has hurt us deeply. An issue in the past, maybe years ago, that we can't let go. And if so, then if someone mentions forgiveness to us, well, maybe we smile wryly, but we feel they simply have no idea what they're talking about. No idea of the pain that person has caused me. No idea of how wrong what they did was. Of course, forgiveness, we think, sounds like a lovely idea in principle. But then we often say, as if it can't be helped, but sadly, not always possible. Well, to people who feel just like this, and maybe that's us this morning, Jesus taught a prayer, the Lord's Prayer. So let's remind ourselves again of how Jesus presented this prayer, which is in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount. In our church Bibles, it's page 978, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning to read of verse 9, where Jesus says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So the Lord's Prayer there reminds us, doesn't it, as it begins, by who we are praying to. We've come to know the Almighty Creator God as our Father. And then we see those first three requests are all focused on him. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And only then does the Lord's Prayer turn to address our needs. And last week we reached verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." We saw, didn't we, how this reminds us of our utter dependence on the Lord for all our practical needs. All too often we take that for granted. But then with that we thought about how we are also to ask for and depend on the Lord for all that we need spiritually, so that we keep trusting Jesus day by day until that day we see him face to face. But that raises the question, doesn't it? What then is this spiritual bread that we need daily? And the next two lines of the Lord's Prayer give specific answers to that question. And we've reached the first of those this morning. "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." So the opening phrase there speaks of debts. That is, because of our sins, our trespasses, we have run up debts, if you like, against God. We've sinned by failing to give him the honour, the respect, the trust that he rightfully deserves. There's no way we can pay this debt, so we ask for forgiveness. Now, we ask for forgiveness the first time that we turn to Christ. And at that point, we are forgiven once and for all, past, present, and future. And yet we know, don't we, all too well, that even after we have started in the Christian life, in fact, however long we've been going, still we sin. We don't live as we should. We fail all too often, And we've all done that even this week. And so we come back to our Father to express our need for his forgiveness. And we pray, Father, forgive us our debts. But that's not the end of this line of the prayer. It continues, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So here is the challenge. The Lord's Prayer assumes that as we ask God for forgiveness, well, so we at the same time are forgiving those who have wronged us. So as we consider this line together, we must ask, are we doing that? And it is worth saying, isn't it, there's great irony in the fact that the Lord's Prayer is recited each week, regularly in churches up and down this land. And yet in this country, churches, aren't they, are renowned as places where disagreements and resentments can fester for years, even for decades. Someone was wronged or perceived a wrong to have taken place way back, who knows when, and this grudge has been held on to ever since. And then maybe in this church, not just those two individuals, but of course their families are on either side. And then even other church members treat one another, depending on which side of this particular argument you are. And this all happens while every week the church says together, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And so the challenge comes to us personally in our individual lives. This morning we too have said together the Lord's Prayer as we do each week. And so as we do, this series is an opportunity for us to reflect on each line, and today, are we forgiving others? We may have been deeply hurt. Others may well have done to us what was seriously wrong. Others' actions may have cost us, and we are still feeling the effects, whether financially or emotionally or in all sorts of ways. And none of this is to say that what's happened to us doesn't matter. It's not to say that others don't deserve maybe to be punished for what they did, and it still might be right that they are punished. And yet, Jesus says, we his people are to forgive them. To no longer allow what happened then to overridingly shape our response to them today. We are not to continually bear ill will towards them. We are not to be the reason why a relationship could not be restored with them. I wonder how that sounds. Simply impossible. When it comes to forgiveness like this, our sentiment might be, I just can't do it. Not after what they did to me. But then we hear Jesus. This line of the Lord's Prayer again. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And it's worth saying Jesus is well aware of the challenge he's presenting to us, which is why Jesus has only one line of the Lord's Prayer which he immediately goes on to say more about, and it's this one. As we look down again to verse 14, Jesus says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The principle's clear, isn't it? God's forgiveness of our sins goes hand in hand with our forgiveness of others' sins. I mean, there is no getting around it. The principle is put positively there in verse 14, forgive others, God will forgive you. Negatively in verse 15, if you don't forgive others, then neither will God forgive you. There's no get out, there's no small print, there's no exceptions. The two go together. And if we read more widely in even Matthew's Gospel, it's a consistent theme in Jesus' teaching. Do you remember the fifth beatitude we looked at a while ago? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I know we haven't got there yet, but later we'll find in Matthew in chapter 18. Do read it maybe this afternoon. We find Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving servant, which again makes the point that God forgiving us and our forgiving others go together. So as then we are feeling the challenge of this teaching, what are we to make of it? Now, it's often at this point, sometimes people ask, well, is Jesus saying that my forgiving others is a condition before God will forgive me? As if this is what I have to do to get God to do that. Well, to which the answer is, from Matthew's Gospel, from the rest of the Bible, a resounding no. No, we don't contribute at all to our forgiveness, to our salvation. It is entirely a gift from God, all from his initiative, to those who simply don't deserve it. God forgives freely. But how then does this work? Because these verses do make it crystal clear that forgiving others really matters. And that somehow, if we aren't forgiving like this, then we're not forgiven by God. So how can that be? Well, Jesus here is challenging us whether we have truly understood the good news of the gospel. Here is the question for us. How serious is our sin? How serious is your sin? My sin? Because there's always a danger that we can tick the box to agree that we are sinners. We'll say the confession together, as we've done this morning, and yet without recognizing the depth and the horror of our rebellion against God. Because let's think about it for a moment. If we are willing to accept God's forgiveness of my sins, but without forgiving others, then what are we actually in practice saying about our sins? Well, we're saying, well, no, God can forgive those because after all, they're not that bad, or at least they're not as bad compared to what others have done to me, which we think is unforgivable. Now, this doesn't minimize for a moment the seriousness of what others might have done to us. But what it maybe does help us to see again, or maybe in a new way, is the weight of our sin. The seriousness of turning away from our Creator. God gave us life. He gave us breath. He gave us everything else. He made us to know him, to enjoy relationship with him. And even so, even though we are so utterly dependent on God for absolutely everything, we all threw it in his face. We refused to trust a God like this. We all thought we knew better. We thought we would make a better fist of running our lives than God would. We decided rather than having God at the centre of everything, it should be me. It is appalling, isn't it? The good news of the gospel is really good news beyond our wildest dreams. That rebellion against God, he will forgive. Because that is what God is like, as we've been thinking about throughout our service. God is astoundingly forgiving. It's his character. It's his nature. But if you like, the test of whether we've grasped that, come to know God as he really is, whether we've realized the enormity of this forgiveness we've received, is whether or not we then forgive others. Not again, that what they did doesn't matter. Not that our forgiving like this will be easy, but from a deep recognition that we have received all the more, so we will forgive others. C.S. Lewis put it like this: to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Well, in our series going through the Lord's Prayer, we have thought, haven't we, about what do we mean for Jesus to be praying this prayer, to live according to it. Do you remember we thought about your kingdom come, and Jesus the King has come to usher in God's kingdom. We thought about your will be done, which was Jesus' priority, wasn't it, at great cost. But what about this line? Well, this line from the Lord's Prayer, wonderfully, Jesus never needed to pray because Jesus never sinned. He had no need for forgiveness. And yet, all the same, this is a line that summarizes his life and ministry. Do you remember before his birth what the angel announced in Matthew? You will call his name Jesus, for he will save people from their sins. And then, approaching his death, Jesus said, he spoke of the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus came and lived and died because he wanted us to receive this blessing of forgiveness. And we see an insight into the heart of Jesus at the cross itself. As Jesus was nailed to that cross, it'd be understandable, wouldn't it, to say the least, by worldly standards, if he bore a grudge against those crucifying him. That was so unjust, that was so wrong, so serious, against one who was so completely innocent, but had given himself in service of others. And yet, at that moment, as Jesus was dying, do you remember what he prayed? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we look again to Jesus. It exposes again all our failures to forgive others. But this is amazing. He died so that we can be forgiven, even of that failure to forgive. Because of Jesus' death, we can pray this prayer, forgive us our debts, in the confidence that God hears and will forgive. But then, as we realize the depths of this forgiveness, we will see the need for us to forgive others. So the point is, if that realization is not there at all, we consistently refuse to forgive, then we can't have grasped what Jesus has done for us yet. We are not yet trusting him. But if we do see that need, well, let's keep on praying, including the Lord's Prayer. We need help, don't we, to do what in our own strength we simply can't do. So as we thought at the beginning, the world says, I can't forgive. And it may well be right. Humanly speaking, it's impossible for the world to forgive. But we know the wonder of God's love for us, the forgiveness he's shown us in Christ. And so Jesus says, pray for that forgiveness and for the grace to show that forgiveness to others. And so we are asking, aren't we, for God to strengthen us, to spur us on, so that we can be children who imitate our loving Heavenly Father, who wonderfully forgives. Let's pray as we close. Thank you, our Father, that you are good and forgiving, that you are so full of steadfast love to all who call on you. Thank you for the way we see that in the way you sent Jesus to die for us. We praise you for him, and we thank you again for this wonderful forgiveness. And as we appreciate again the depth of that forgiveness, would you help us to do what we confess we find so hard to do, to have this forgiving heart towards others. Please help us to be the people you'd have us be, who imitate you, our loving, forgiving Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.